Hello and welcome to episode 404 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. Today is April 8th, 2024. I am Rollo McFlugel and with me is my co-host Slappy Jones. Show notes page for this episode will be mcflugel.com/404. Slappy, did you see the solar eclipse today?
No, I didn't.
No?
I was working.
Did you not know?
I did know about it. My one son was worried he was going to go blind. I guess everyone says don't look at it, you'll go blind. So he was very concerned. But they went out, and as far as I know, they all still have their eyesight, and they got to see the moon close to the sun. So that's good. I did not see it. I was on the phone working, trying to put food on the table.
It's very noble of you. And of course, we were talking for the last, 15 minutes and it was fine. And then as soon as we hit record, I missed most of what you said. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, it will be.
I went out and looked at it. I did not wear the goggles or the glasses or whatever.
So you're blind.
I looked at it. Anyone that says that they wore the stupid glasses or would only look at it if they're either just liars or just big losers.
I would have looked at it. I was ready to go out and see that thing. I got stuck on the phone. I saw it get darker, and that was kind of cool. But I couldn't actually see the sun. I guess no one could.
Yeah, it was. What helped is it was there's some cloud cover, so I could kind of just quickly kind of glance at it, and when it would get uncovered by the clouds, you could see it. Where we were, it wasn't the full eclipse, but I mean it was probably 75% was covered up.
Yeah, nice.
When I was staring at it. But of course, I scroll through Twitter today and you see a couple people and you knew this was going to happen. That's the most annoying thing in the world, being like, oh, look at all these normies carrying a belt. Oh, an eclipse. Oh, drop everything you're doing. Gotta care about the solar eclipse because that's what everyone cares about. And it's like, yeah, that is what everybody cares about because it is pretty cool. And it annoys me that there's these people out there that, like, just because, oh, you can't be like a normie, then they just, like, decide that they reject, like, universally enjoyable things.
It's very normie of you to say.
Yes. But it's like, dude, you're just, like, so online and so used to just being a dork that you have to just, be such a the hipster that virtue signal all the time, not like everybody else. That just things that are just human, you have to say, oh, this is stupid. Like throughout the entirety of humanity, we've been like obsessed with the sun and the moon and the stars because it's cool. And it's just like, for the sake of something happening out of the ordinary, the coincidence of the sun and the moon and the earth lining up in such a way that like the sun gets blocked out for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just cool. It's like watching the screensaver with the Windows icon bouncing around the screen. You wait for it to go in the corner.
Yeah.
Why do we care about that? Because it's just, I don't know, it's fun. It's interesting. Why do we play stupid games where we roll dice or something and see if we can just by chance get a higher number than the other person or something? Like the game of Monopoly. You're going around the board. It's all random in the sense that, like, you're just rolling. I mean, there's some choice involved in there, whether you're buying properties and stuff. But, like, where you're actually moving to, it's just by chance. But that's what makes it fun. So stop being a stick in the mud, people, and just like enjoy things that are cool. We haven't had a lunar eclipse in a while, and that'd be cool to see again, because that would also make my eyes hurt a little bit less.
Yeah, I don't know the last time. When, how long? I'm trying to remember when we last had one. And I don't know.
I remember seeing a few, but I can't put a number of years on it. But yeah, all that kind of stuff is interesting. I used to be able to like spot various planets in the sky.
Yeah, I still do that.
I think I could spot, well, Venus is pretty easy, but Jupiter and Mars, I could pick out.
Yeah.
It's nice for living where I live now compared to where I grew up, is that I can look up in the night sky at my house and see so much more.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nice.
So it is just like neat to just kind of stare up at the night sky. See stars that are out there, just, I don't know. Are they like millions of miles away, I guess?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, far away.
And we see them. Yep. Sometimes we see the light that's, you know, by the time the light gets to us, it's a lot of time's gone by.
Yes. What is it from the light? Like, how far away is the sun? Is it like 8 minutes or something that it would take?
That sounds about right.
So, like, if the sun blew up, we'd probably die before we knew it.
No, I don't. It would blow up and it would just take 8 minutes for us to die, I guess.
Yeah, right.
Although I don't know what, you know, how fast. No, we would probably.
We would probably see
it blow up. That would be pretty cool, actually, because you I would imagine.
You
would blow up
and then you'd be dead. Because you would see whatever's coming at to hit the Earth. Right?
Yes. Yes.
Like that would
you,
be within.
You think about an explosion.
Yeah.
You see the explosion, then you get hit by the shockwave.
Yeah.
And then definitely like the combustible gases aren't traveling the speed of light and everything.
Right.
So yeah, that would actually be kind of neat and terrifying all at the same time, because we would probably have several minutes, perhaps. I have no idea how fast
to go nowhere
it would take. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not going anywhere near the speed of light.
Right.
So we would just kind of, I guess, see the sun blowing up. And we'd be like, oh, the sun's blowing up. So
I guess
we're going to die within the hour or so.
Yeah, I don't know.
What if it like took 3 years?
Like, that'd be funny.
You're just like, all right, well. We're all going to, the Earth's just going to get vaporized in 3 years, but we have 3 years to just like hang out. Although I guess the sun would go out. I don't know. I don't know all the mechanics of this.
I don't know. Yeah, what would happen there? I don't know. Just hope that doesn't happen anytime soon.
Right. It would kind of be cool that if I were, you know, just dying of, hey, it's my time to die. And then just so happened that also the sun explodes, so I get to see that.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Speaking of, you know, the explosion of the sun and the intensity of the heat and fire and passion with that, Did you see one of the latest interviews of Michael Knowles?
Possibly. I've been listening to Michael Knowles the past week. No, I've been listening to Michael Knowles a little bit lately. So maybe. Which one? I don't listen to every episode.
The OnlyFans model?
I did listen to that, yes.
Okay, I didn't, but it's been making the rounds on Twitter, and it's just, I don't know anything about this girl.
The only thing I know about her is what she said on the Michael Knowles show.
Yeah, apparently she made $9 million on OnlyFans, and then kind of came around and discovered or rediscovered God and, you know, shut it all down and is leading a trying to lead a righteous life. Is that basically what's going on in a nutshell?
Sounds about right.
And you would think that people who, you know, like God and Christianity and don't like pornography and all that kind of stuff would be like, this is a great story. This is great. Good for her. And, you know, God bless her. And I hope that she stays on the straight and narrow and really, you know, has her life changed. But there are so many people out there that seem so angry that this happened.
Gotta like tear people that, down.
It's weird.
Can't let people improve.
And maybe, Yeah, I don't know anything about this girl. I don't know anything about, you know, the story. Maybe it's all show for her and it's fake. And if that's the case, that's not great. But it's just weird. And it's not that surprising because for a while, at least on Twitter, all this kind of this right wing reactionaryism, if you will, that there's this always like the you know, referring to a girl's body count or whatever. And I agree with these people that, you know, you shouldn't have relations outside of marriage. But like there's this condemnation of people, specifically women, that it's like, oh, if they sleep around or, you know, behave in a certain way, then they are just destroyed forever with no hope at all for ever coming around or changing their ways.
Yeah.
It's like if you are, you know, it's.
So I don't know which people you're talking about, but they mentioned this on that episode that Pearl, what's her name? Pearl something? Pearly things, Pearl, whatever her name is. She was really ripping into this girl and calling her a fake. And you'd have to listen to the Michael Knowles episode to remember exactly what she said. But I thought she had a very, I mean, at least she responded the way I think someone should respond. She was, you know, she said she prayed about it and didn't want to write an angry response. And it was like hurtful, but she also understands what, you know, this whole thing and just decided not to respond to it. And she quoted scripture a couple times and remember, if they hate you, they hated me first, you know? But I was thinking when I said I don't know who you're talking about, because if you're out there and you have a podcast and you're trying to get people to, like you said, get away from porn and live a good life, you would think this would be good news. But in the case of Pearl, and I don't know a lot about her other than Michael Knowles, she just seems like a miserable person with a bad outlook on life and thinks like she was saying these like things about women, certain women, or all women maybe, that aren't worth getting married. There's no marriable women or something like that. So if someone makes themselves better, that hurts Pearl. hurts her theories. If someone improves and lives a better life,
yeah,
and that would be a shot at Pearl, because Pearl says everyone's a degenerate loser, whatever she says. I don't know, but that's kind of her thing, is like, don't get married because girls are all promiscuous. I don't know what she says, sluts, whores, whatever.
Yeah, I now, missed 90% of what you said.
Is it just going out? I don't know. I don't know what to tell you about that.
It's mostly, I think it's out. Skype. I know. It's frustrating. We got to do something other than Skype. It's weird because the last couple of weeks it's been okay, but I think I got the gist of what you're saying. But continue, because you're going to keep going.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember where I was. But essentially that, if Pearl says all women are just not worth marrying and not have no hope and society's done and men shouldn't get married, if you have a girl who improves herself and realizes she was wrong and tries to improve her life, that hurts Pearl. So I don't know all the people who are ripping her. Yeah. I mean, if you're a Christian this is what I love about Michael Knowles and why I started listening to him, is I love his style and his approach to an interview. Like, he has this girl in an interview for a long time, and Michael Knowles is Catholic, and I think he adheres to, the Catholicism as best he can, the doctrines of the faith. And he could have, like, picked apart some of the things she said, but he didn't. And he didn't tell any lies. He represented himself, and I think the Catholic faith, the Christian faith, very well, without just ripping her. Like, he didn't say, your baptism wasn't proper. She's on a high, it seemingly, unless it's just a giant scam, which, who knows? She seems sincere in the one interview I heard. And he had a really good conversation with her. And I thought, why not encourage her to continue down this path? Even if it's new, like, I'm not saying she's becoming a saint tomorrow. Obviously, it takes time, but this is certainly a better message than what she was doing. So, I don't know. I don't know if any of that went through or not, but
I think I kind of got the gist. Hopefully, with the lag, you're not trying to talk while I'm talking right now too, but no, I think I agree with you, from based on what I could gather from listening. But yeah, it's just, man, there's so much stuff to talk about with this, because for one, yeah, I think it's if you have someone that's like saying that they want to change their life around and do something else. I mean, if you come around, even before she had the conversion, I'm sure she felt a lot of shame in what she was doing. The one little clip I saw, like, she was disowned by her family. That's difficult. And for someone to like come around, and this isn't probably something most of us don't like make changes in our lives, especially when it comes to like vices and sin. We don't just like snap our fingers and turn on a dime and everything's better. It takes time. And we all have our different crosses that we got to bear with different temptations that we struggle with. And so when we fail, obviously that's not good, but like God wants to forgive us every single time we fail and bring us back. And what's really not helpful is having people, the peanut gallery, being around going, oh, you failed? Well, you are worthless and you are unforgivable. And I don't believe that you are doing this for real. I believe that you're still an evil person. You're terrible. And what you did will always follow you for the rest of your life in a way that like you can never get out of that. You can never change your ways. You are condemned right now, right here, forever. There is no helping you. There is nothing that can save you. I mean, what a terrible thing to say to somebody.
Yeah, and they actually they hit on that in the interview, because she was saying like she knows God forgives her, but that doesn't change that she did what she did and that she's got to live with that. And it's like it hurts her and it's shameful. And Michael Knowles went into that too. Like, yeah, in the temporal world, we're going to carry that with us. But, you are forgiven, whatever. And, God forgives, right? So If this is I saw one interview, but it was a long interview. I mean, hats off to her for scamming everyone with giving them a good message. I mean, I've heard of worse scams. You know what I mean? Oh, she just wants attention and money.
But one of my one of my theories about this, though, is that I think a lot of people probably have their own related, you know, addictions and problems. So I bet a lot of these guys, at least, that are super critical and calling her, you know, condemning her, probably have like porn addictions themselves. And I think the way that they cope with it is by, in their heads, they're like, well, the person that's doing the worst thing are the people that are on the screen, and I'm just like kind of consuming it. And the fact that I'm one of, you know, millions of people that are doing it, I don't really have that much effect on it. So it's really not as bad that I'm doing it. And so that's how they kind of like don't change their own lives.
There's this idea.
And so when they see.
Yeah, we're on a lag, and that makes it really hard to have a conversation. But, you know, it's like this rationalization that everyone does it. At least I know it's wrong. Like, it's like, at least I talk about it being wrong. Yeah, I still watch it like everyone else, but I'm not one of those perverts who tells you he watches it. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like a weird kind of thing. So if somebody actually gives it up, you have to be like, no, you really didn't, because I would like to give it up, but I can't.
Yeah, so I think what happens is that when you have one of the people that they identify as being like, well, this is the really bad person, goes and says, yeah, I'm done. I'm actually going to change. I'm done with this. Then they have to deal with the cognitive dissonance of like, oh, well, this really evil, the person that I'm identifying as really bad and condemned is making a change and saying, I don't want to do this anymore, and I'm going to change my life. Then they have to deal with that awkward situation of being like, well, the person I identified as the far worse person is now doing something righteous and, you know, no longer engaging in this sinful activity, and I'm participating in it in my mind in a much lesser extent than like. Then there's some impetus on you to be like, well, why can't you do it too? And then they have to deal with their own addiction to it and their own vices and their own shackles to the sin. And so I think that just like lashing out and then condemning is just their way of kind of continuing to rationalize their own decisions, as opposed to being like, one, using her as an example or a role model, you know, ironically, to say, well, okay, maybe I gotta to get out of this too, and if she can do it, then you know, maybe I got a chance too. There's just and so much of this stuff, and this is what keeps people mired in it. It's all rooted in shame. And in one sense, you should have like feel some shame for doing bad things, but not in the sense that it's keeping you from seeking forgiveness. That's disordered. That's not a good thing. Like we said before, God wants to forgive you. He wants to bring you back in. And shame, in the sense that it keeps you from asking and seeking forgiveness, is of the devil. It is not a godly thing. And so I feel like that's, you know, a lot of this is just like people feeling shame and not wanting to actually deal with what's going on. And so they just mire themselves into, you know, another vice of hatred.
Yeah.
And pride and presumption, you know, not surprising that sinful behavior leads to more sinful behavior. And again, I mean, this girl may come out, might be all this like this big grift, but that's still not an excuse to just, because it makes you feel better, condemn the woman. She's obviously going through a lot, Yeah. And it's not like I'm reaching out to her and saying like, oh, good job and keep it up. But it certainly doesn't help. Good job.
Keep it up. Keep going. Keep learning.
Yeah.
Try to live a better life.
Well, I mean, she probably does listen to the podcast because everybody does. So
yeah, we're right up there with Rogan. I know we go back and forth between that top spot, but
right. But yeah, I hope it's genuine, and I hope she keeps it up. And if it's not genuine, I hope it becomes genuine. Exactly. Like, it's just bizarre to me that people that claim to be Christian and hold these values would be so critical of someone that is, you know, changing their ways. And it's just weird. It's just weird. This like mindset that they think that women are just, if they behave a certain way at some point, they're just like unforgivable and broken forever.
But there's similar kind of themes in a lot of places, right? Like, even within the church, you hear people saying, like, the church needs to get with the times. Like, we had the sexual revolution. It's time the church to allow contraception, you know? And I think the reason they do that is because they're weak. They think it's impossible to live by the doctrines of the church. So if I can change them to fit what I want, then I can live by the doctrines of the church again.
Yeah. And to be fair, I mean, there's also like the radical feminists out there that like will condemn men for just like being men. And so once again, it's just all horseshoe theory. Like it's kind of like what Michael Knowles said on the podcast episode with Pearl, was that like, you just, the stuff you're saying, you sound like a radical feminist. It's all the same thing.
He also called her out for he didn't call her out, but it was on the podcast with the girl, whatever her name is. He talked about it. He's like, I was talking to Pearl, and she, you know, whenever you hear someone say, I'm Catholic, I went to Catholic grade school, you know, you're about to hear the least Catholic thing you ever heard. And that's kind of what happened with Pearl. Another point on that I did see some people on Twitter kind of ripping this girl for using her OnlyFans name still, and that makes it not genuine or something. But why wouldn't she if that's where she got famous?
Right.
Now, I do think if she did use her real name and went away and just like disappeared from the internet and lived like a holy life, that would be great too. But she does have a platform and an opportunity to tell her story and to be an example. So I don't think that's wrong or somehow not sincere or less genuine. I mean, she could be tricking me, but, you know.
Yeah, maybe, but you know, tricking us for like, I won't feel all that bad if I end up getting tricked by this, because it's one, we're not like invested in her story or like trying to prove that she's saying anything. We're just saying like, okay, what she's saying is a good thing. Like, but also too, it's like, the other thing that's worth bringing up, which is kind of funny that we have to say this, but especially for people that come from the religious angle over it, is that like, if you're condemning her for, you know, sexual sins and you want to condemn women in general for that kind of stuff, like, who did Jesus seek out? Like, who was his like best female friend? It was Mary Magdalene. She was a prostitute. And she changed her ways. That's like, you know, you hear about it all the time in the Gospels. Jesus hanging out with the prostitutes and wanting to change them. Like, do you think times were different? Do you think humans were different back then than they are now? I don't think so. So, like, I think he kind of knew who to target. And it was difficult for people to accept back then, because that's what they would talk about. Oh, he's hanging out with prostitutes. Same kind of thing. Like, oh, we have to stay away. Oh, these people are just like marked forever and can't ever be accepted back into, you know, polite, good society because of this thing they did. Jesus was like, no, that's, you should reject that. We're all, everyone is worth, is savable and is worth, I hate saying saving because there's like a very Protestant thing where yes. people say that they're saved.
But I know what you mean.
But people are worth, yeah, people are worth.
Not giving up on, giving them a chance.
Yeah. Everyone. So with that, something that's not worth saving, and the other thing that's been kind of rattling around the Bitcoin or the Twitter things, at least my things, is that, like, apparently the big blockers and Bcash people are back.
Yeah.
Roger Ver just wrote a book, or Steve Patterson wrote a book for Roger Ver about kind of the block size debate. And there's this whole, like, big block Bcash thing going on again. And it's weird and it's stupid. And then there was a kind of recently, that guy Vlad, he's got the Bitcoin Takeover podcast. He had Roger Ver on for an interview. And I didn't listen to it because I don't listen to that podcast anyway. I don't really have any opinion on it because I never listened to it. And I certainly don't have any interest in listening to anything Roger Ver has to say. But he had Roger Ver on, and like, Bitcoiners very predictably were like, what are you doing? Like, why are you having this guy on? He's a scammer and he's terrible and blah, 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 blah. We hold nine yards. We know all of it. And apparently a bunch of people were claiming or suggesting, I don't know, that Roger Ver must have paid Vlad to come on his podcast to promote his new book. And how does Vlad respond? But by threatening to sue these people.
Nice.
Including Haldenot, who recently just finally won his case after years of litigation on with the Craig Wright thing. And it's like, dude, like, what do you expect to happen? Like, what do you, there's this like midwit kind of mindset out there that you are somehow intellectually superior or whatever because you bring on people who think differently and you want to have conversations with them. And I think there's a time and a place for that. But someone like Roger Ver is just simply not worth talking to. He is he's a scammer. Now, you know, to not be just totally a huge hypocrite after we just got done talking about the Michael Knowles thing, like, there is a potential, and it would be great if he did change his ways and stop being a scammer and a liar and a cheat and all that other stuff and come to Bitcoin. And that would be great. I would love it if we got Roger Ver back or Craig Wright or anybody, Vitalik. If they became Bitcoiners, that would be absolutely wonderful. But as long as they're not Bitcoiners, now there's something to be said about private conversation. And I'm not even saying that, like, there's not a time and a place to bring them on a platform to have a discussion. But I think they're really narrow cases. And if you're not equipped to, like, really be good at being able to, like, very quickly and on your toes respond to the nonsense they say, man, it's really not a good idea to platform these guys. Like, we're not going to bring, if Roger Ver offered to come on our show, the answer would just simply be no.
No interest.
Just like, what's his name? Yeah. Because it's not going to produce anything fruitful. He's just going to come on to promote his scams and lie. And, like, is part of our job as the number one podcast in the history of the universe. Like, we have a duty to our audience that we're not going to like steer them in bad directions. And give them bad information and stupid stuff. And so, yeah, I just don't think there's any reason to have some of these conversations, and you're not being like intellectual or anything like that by bringing someone that's just going to say a bunch of nonsense. A few weeks ago, we were talking about, we critiqued, was it Mike Brock? Is that his name? And we said, yeah. And we said like, yeah, if he offers to come on the show or whatever to debate us, we're just going to say no. And he somehow found the episode, and on Twitter, he was like, oh, I'll debate you. And I was just like, no, no. I'm not going to. I don't think your ideas are dumb. Didn't
he say something like, I'm important enough to spend an entire episode on, but they won't debate me. It's like, yeah, because you have stupid ideas we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
People hear them and we're responding. We don't care to debate. I don't care to debate you.
Right. Not everyone, you know, has an understanding of certain things that they're going to be able to sort through it very well. And so they hear these things and they're out there, especially because Mike Brock represents a lot of just like generally bad economics that's kind of mainstreamed. And so, yeah, you have to address that stuff because people are at different places and they got to learn. And so, you know, with this Bcash stuff coming back, I don't necessarily have a problem with people that are new sorting through it and asking questions, because we were all there at one point. We were all presented with like, well, what happens if we raise the blocks, block sizes and everything and change Bitcoin? So I can have some patience with those people, but people that have been around for a while that are entertaining it, like, no, it's just, they're like, here's the thing. If you want a version of Bitcoin with bigger blocks, Bcash is right there.
Mm-hmm.
Sell your Bitcoin and go buy Bcash and go participate in that network.
What's one's stopping you. Thesis of their book here? Like, I saw people saying it was hijacked. Bitcoin was hijacked. How was it hijacked? Who hijacked it?
It's just, Blockstream is a big evil corporation and they hijacked Bitcoin.
Oh.
They like really hate Adam Back and Samson Mao. It's funny.
Yeah.
Well, it was kind of like, remember when Mr. Sue had Sal on his podcast and Sal was making all these claims about Bitcoin and Blockstream, and then Mr. Sue would just be like, oh, well, why is that? And it's like, honestly, I don't know. I don't really know.
You know, to be honest, like,
literally every single time he would make a claim, Phil would say, "Well, what? Okay, yeah, let's talk about that." To be honest, I don't really know. But yeah, I mean, Bitcoin Cash, BSV, any of these ideas that people want to explore with changing Bitcoin, it's all been done ad nauseum. Take your pick of stuff. Take your pick of a version of Bitcoin with big blocks or shorter block times or whatever variables you want to change. It's out there. No one's stopping you. And all these Bitcoin Cash people were always talking about how they're good, proper libertarians that believe in the markets. Okay, the market decided. The market's deciding that Bcash is not really worth anything. And that Bitcoin is. It's a free market. And the market for money is not, it's really not like any other market in that, like, you can't really stop it from the best one winning. This is not like you can't even like make the claim that like, oh, well, this thing won because it was permissioned by the government. money doesn't ask for government's permission. It can either be resistant to it and fight through it and overcome it, or it doesn't. And that's where we're at. And Bitcoin's winning. So the fact that you had all these Bcash, because it was like back in the day when that attack against Bitcoin with the big blocks and Bcash came out, you know, a lot of people identified it as an attack on Bitcoin, and people were like, oh, well, no, it's just people disagreeing and wanting to do different ideas and everything. Well, right now, it is really obvious that Bcash and all that other stuff was and continues to be an explicit attack on Bitcoin, because they have their coins. You don't have to play with Bitcoin. Just let us do our thing. And if it's a bad idea, we're going to fall apart and crumble and disappear. And whatever you think is the good solution is going to win. But the fact that they have to come and bother us in Bitcoin and try to get us to change the code here means that the whole thing about the markets deciding who's going to be the winner, you know, what's going to have value and everything, was just a little crap from them. They don't actually believe that. And the purpose of whatever everything that they're doing is to attack and destroy Bitcoin. Now, that said, I think there's a lot of unwitting participants in that they're jumping on the bandwagon for big blocks and everything because they think that's what's good. And they're not necessarily, I'm sure, you know, in their hearts, they're libertarians that want to, have the government become obsolete and everything. So they're just kind of patsies for it. But the people that are, you know, ultimately pulling the strings on this kind of stuff, I think they just hate Bitcoin.
You know, to be honest, I'm not really sure.
It's goofy. Yeah, I mean, it's goofy and it's annoying. And like I keep saying, you want to play with big blocks? Go for it. No one's stopping you. In fact, I'm at the point where I want to encourage people to do that, because that's going to mean I'm going to get their Bitcoin. Like, I'm done. I don't really have any interest in debating people on this. Now, I'll talk with people that are figuring it out. That's different, just like anything else. Just like anybody that's new to Bitcoin or understanding monetary economics. They've got a lot of questions. It's not obvious right away. There's a lot of stuff that's really not that intuitive. So yeah, talk with them. But people that are just been around for a while and are like, you know, Bcashers that are locked in with it, like, I don't have time for you. You're not going to convince me. I think your ideas are stupid. And I think your coins are stupid. And I don't want them. But, you know, do whatever you want. You know, one of the more freeing things that happened to me over the years was that I stopped caring if other people had Bitcoin.
Yeah, that's a nice.
I'll tell you what I do, because people would be like, "Oh, well, guess what? Because I disagree, so I'm not gonna buy Bitcoin, and I'm gonna buy Ethereum just because. Oh, it's gonna make you so mad." I was like, "Okay, I don't care. I don't need you to buy Bitcoin in order for me to find value out of Bitcoin, or for the value of Bitcoin to continue to increase."
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, go ahead, like, buy whatever crud you want to. I don't care. So that's why it's like, okay, you want big blocks, you want to, you know, do whatever the Bcash thing is, like, go for it. No one is stopping you. Go on to Bcash and, you know, don't run a node. That's the other thing. It's like, okay, you want to affect, you know, the rules of Bitcoin. Enforce the rules that you want to see. That's what it's all about. That's what running a node is. That's what being, you know, sovereign in this thing is. Enforce the rules you want to see. So if you want to see big blocks on Bitcoin, run a node that allows big blocks. It's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. Enforce the rules you want to see. I'm running the rules that I want to see, but that's the ironic thing, is that like I don't think there's like a single Bcasher that actually runs his own node.
There definitely isn't.
Yeah. So it's all just a LARP. It's all silly. It's you know, smacking their chests and making a big deal about stuff, but the reality is that, like, they actually have the opportunity to affect change and, you know, use the coin that and the system and the network that they want to use, and they just don't. That's the other thing that's going to be weird, is a lot of Bcashers just kind of like disappeared after a while. I wonder if this is going to like make them come back.
Probably
bring it up again.
I thought they.
That's the other
they
funny
really
thing.
Did disappear.
Yeah, they just stopped talking about all this stuff. But that's a funny thing too. Is that like Bitcoiners are just like, yeah, I got Bitcoin and nothing else. And when they make fun of Bcash or Ethereum or Monero or anything else, it's just making fun of it. But all these people that hate Bitcoin, they all own it. So it's like kind of pathetic that they hate it so much, but it's probably what they own most of. So if you're a Bcasher and you're like swear off Bitcoin and you're all in on Bcash, like, all right, at least you believe it enough to go in for it. For all the other people, it's just a LARP. It's just stupid. You're just patsies in an attack on a thing that you claim is going to change the world. So, all right. I think it's about time for bed, Slappy. Do you have anything else to say?
No, we covered it all as usual.
Yeah, and now you're kind of like coming in clear. Which is great.
I think you just didn't want me to talk all episode.
I let you talk. That's the thing. Maybe this is good because I realized there was a delay and I realized I couldn't hear you. So I had to just like sit back and listen and like let you go for a while.
The delay is frustrating.
So maybe. Dude, I was ready to throw my computer across the room. When it first started, we had a 15-minute conversation. Everything was fine. We hit record, and then I hear...
Hopefully the audio came through. I don't know.
All the other times we had problems with it, it always does. So I think it will, and if it doesn't, I just don't freaking care.
Yeah, good luck to your ears, everyone.
Sorry, audience.
If you looked at the eclipse, your eyes are gone. If you listen to our episode, your ears are gone.
Live life. Live life. Solar eclipses, you know, the last one was 7 years ago. The next one's going to be, like I heard, everywhere between 24 and 70 years. This podcast only comes around once a week. So you gotta savor it. And really, solar eclipses, it's the same thing every time. The Ronald and Slappy Show, it's something different every week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's even more special than a solar eclipse. You know, you see these like ancient paintings and like cave art and hieroglyphics and everything depicting like solar eclipses and other natural phenomena. But also, if you look closely, they'll be wearing headphones listening to the Ronald and Slappy Show.
Yep.
On this ancient art. So. All right. Show notes page for this episode is mcflugel.com/404. And thanks for listening. And we will catch you next week.
Peace.